Today we talking labels. We talking who? We talking Wu-Tang and American Saga Season 1, Episode 8, labels. We got people getting picked up and people getting let go. So let's see what happens next.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang, Wu. What's going on, y'all? How you doing? It's the one, the only, coming through with the mental cuisine. You might have seen me on The Act. You might have seen me on the after show for This Shy, and now I'm here to talk all things Wu-Tang. I'm your boy, Chef Means, and to my left, you might have seen her on The Shy, even Harlots, and maybe even When They See Us. But now we see her, and it's Kitty Kaboom.
That was pretty good, baby. What's good? What's up? How you doing? Yeah.
And to her left, you might have seen her on the after show for Black Lightning. And now she's here to strike up a conversation here on Wu-Tang. We have Miss Zuri.
Yes, I am here. And Black Lightning's actually back on. Oh, so, nice. Yes, and I'm back on that panel, too.
Oh, nice. Well, we had a lot of things going on this episode, from the prelude to a dream, the ventriloquist dummy, if the hat fits. Bobby was all over the place this episode, which I'm a little indifferent about it. What do y'all think? Kitty, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
Whack.
Wicka, 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 wicka.
Pretty freaking much. I'm sorry, but I thought it was garbage. Like, pure trash.
Basura?
The whole episode was, like, so slow. Like, mad. Like, it was difficult to watch. It was so slow. Like, are y'all serious? Let's go with this back and forth. They weren't talking about anything. I just didn't. There was no cohesiveness. I didn't enjoy it. I did not enjoy it.
I think that this episode was pretty flat as well. And it's kind of sad because we were waiting. We were waiting for this moment. I remember Kitty's always like, I want to see them as Wu-Tang. Yes. I want to see his journey with the record label, with him as really an artist. And I feel like they gave that to us, but it was no real, like, they were just missing some extra seasoning on it.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a flat, like the soda that I had not too long ago. This episode did...
You know you gotta make a food reference. Yes.
This episode was pretty, like, flatlined. And I'm not surprised at how it ended. You know what I mean? As far as them letting go. I just feel like it was rushed more than anything. Like, exactly. So much happened in this 50 minutes. Like, you go from all these different cities. Now it's like, oh, hey, we're the Avengers. Let's come together. Oh, you know what? We're going to get into that for it. Let's just transition into the first topic.
Yes.
I like how the episode was at least broken up through different cities. I'm like, okay, with different hats that Bobby had to put on. And the first topic...
Literally.
That, yes, literally. Oh.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, we're going to talk about Prelude to a Dream. And as we can see, the episode starts. You have ODB and GZA playing craps. They see what is the armadillo walking by.
Yes.
Like, what? Can you all see them in
Staten Island? So I thought he was wrong.
How are you from New York, living with roaches and mice? Like, it's a regular thing to have mice in the walls in New York City.
Right. Yeah.
And you're afraid of an armadillo.
They didn't really act scared so much as they were just like, what the hell is that?
They left.
They didn't look scared. Well, I ain't gonna sit there and let some vermin crawl all over me either. Right. But I don't know. They didn't look scared so much as they just was like, yo, I'm so out of my element right now.
Right.
Like,
I thought it was so funny to be out of the element, but in the... out of your normal element, but being in the element that you kind of manifested. This is part of their dream as far as being on tour, being these big artists and everything like that. And we see Bobby is in a bed with chicks, like, they really living up. What do y'all think about this opening scene / Houston situation that they're in right now? What do you think, Kitty?
I mean, I do like the fact that it's almost like a dichotomy where it was so slow moving, but at the same time, they did pack so much interesting stuff in there. So I do like that they're still utilizing Bobby as the front runner, I guess, and he's kind of leading the story, which makes sense. You know what I mean? The RZA is the man. So that was dope of it. But I just wasn't... no part of this intrigued me. Like,
right.
I really wanted to be drawn in. I get it. They had to kind of give us the background on the BS that GZA and all of them had to go through, RZA. but it just, I don't know. It just didn't spark any. Like, I want to be more enthralled with something. Give me anything. And I just felt like they were like, okay, on to the next. And that's a little bit. And on to the next. And that's a little bit. Like, do something.
I liked the opening scene with Bobby with the girl. Because this is our second girl that we've seen him with so far. And everyone has kind of had multiple women at this point, except like Dennis, who has had Cherie in a whole relationship, pretty much. So I was like, okay. But then I was wondering, is this like a moment where he kind of gets sidetracked? Is there drugs going to come into play? Like, usually those are the things that we see artists, especially young artists, experience early on in their tour life. I know I was alive for ODB.
Yeah, she was here.
For me. But I want him to be more than just the drunk, like, funny friend. Yeah. I want more from him. Even if it's just a little bit of his backstory. Like, we got a little bit of Dennis with the kids. Something. We got to see a hint of Raekwon's parents. I want more from ODB than him to just be a drug guy, a weed guy, and, like, a little sideline joke.
I agree with that as well, because he does always pop in as this, don't really know what's going on. Hey, y'all, what's going on? Where the weed at? You know, we out of weed. Yeah. He is popping in like that. To speak to what you said about RZA, he is, in real life, what they were saying around that age, like a ladies man. Like, that's the music that he was leaning towards. And even with the video at the end, which we're going to speak about, we kind of see, like, that was, like, his lead. Like, let me just speak very in a vulgar way, different things like that. But when the real approached him, we're like, look, this ain't you. This ain't where we come from. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm going to wait till we get into that topic. I want to transition into now they're in this soundstage area.
Can I talk about the comments real quick? Because they're addressing what we're saying and they're making really good points. King David basically said this episode was dope. So obviously he disagrees. He said it was filled with Easter eggs. And he's absolutely right. A term that's used in entertainment to basically say, like, things that are not as obvious. Things that are going to reveal themselves later. Little nuggets of information that they just kind of seamlessly put into the plot that you find out about later, or that you're supposed to think after and go like, oh, now I get it. So, yeah, Levi Ben Udah. That's, I'm sorry.
Udah.
Is that Udah? Yeah, it is Udah. Okay, my bad. Because I thought it was different. I liked it. The Just Ice scene was my favorite. I mean, I appreciate the fact that we have a difference of opinion. I honestly do. I'm like, that makes for good conversation. So I'm glad that you guys have an informed, opinion. I just couldn't get past the fact that it didn't move very quickly and that they seemed to just settle. It just seemed like it was settling. And Bobby was just kind of doing his best to navigate, but just such a fish out of water.
Right. And even to speak about the Just Ice scene, we see that we're still in Houston. We're in this big arena where I'm guessing Bobby's about to perform. And Bobby's not getting his way at all. He's still trying to figure this out. And Just Ice kind of said, like, no, fix the sound. Like, I can't hear sound on the left speaker. He's seeing that happen. But he also was approached because of his name, Rakim. And we know when it comes to the 5 percenters and things like that,
they do not play.
They don't play. So Jizz had to kind of swoop in and save him. What did y'all think about this whole interaction with his name, him wanting to seek more knowledge and different things like that? Like, what do you think, Zuri, about like that whole?
I feel like, yes, you should know more about a name before you call yourself that. But also, I was kind of judging the 5% guy, Ice, because it's your job as who you say you are to educate,
man,
and not to even approach it with violence. He was threatening him. And I'm like, so are you like a poser? Or like, someone needs to come check you because you're not being who you say you are.
Right.
And I didn't appreciate that.
That is a very good point, Zuri. I didn't like that either. Like, how do you say, let's all be inclusive, you're a god, black man, know your history, and then be like, figure it out or I'm going to beat your ass. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. You're right. He swooped in. He kind of saved the day. And Bobby was like, what'd I do to that nigga? Like, I love that Bobby is always on the offense. You know what I mean? He never comes for people. He's not vindictive. He's not really angry. Very often, he just kind of goes with the flow. And it's a nice, I don't want to say reprieve, but it's nice to see, because so many of the group members are so damn mad all the time.
Right.
Y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
So it feels good to have him just be like, you know what? I'm out here in front. I'm going to lead the way in a positive element so that it won't be so combative.
No, absolutely. And we saw Bobby D get upset when they messed up his name, which makes sense. Like, you're supposed to be my manager. This is supposed to be my label.
Right?
Why did y'all mess up my name on these shirts? Like, do y'all not know who I am? But you, this is the prelude. So you see, he keeps getting passed on. Oh no, we got you though. Like don't trip, bro.
Right.
We got. He kind of keeps getting his.
He gets railroaded.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like they have the nerve to drop them, and all the mistakes that were made were because of them. I mean, that's the business that we're in, right? Like we signed up for that. We know that we are simply talent, and unfortunately, that can often equate to puppets. They want us to do this in order to make them money. Eventually, we'll get ours, but we get a small percentage of what they create. So though they love what we do and they love our talents and skills, it's always a matter of packaging and how can we promote this. And so when they drop the ball, the first thing they're going to do is minimize it and make it seem like it's really your fault. We dropping you, bro. It didn't do well. Well, I guess it didn't. You ain't do what you were supposed to do. None of this is what I asked. Exactly. Right. I didn't ask for any of this. Y'all got me out here singing and dancing like you said, the WB Frog. Come on, right, y'all. Right, you look like a clown up there on stage.
Right.
It's disrespectful.
No, it's very disrespectful and how they were just using his talent during Houston, you know what I mean? Like, it was very evident that he was just an object in that moment, but it didn't really hit him yet, which we're going to talk about how it hit him. But before we talk about that, Kitty, can you tell us how the fans can hit us on a lot of different levels?
I sure can. First thing I can do is tell you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so appreciated. If we did not have you, there would be no us. And we mean that quite literally. It's because of you that we thrive. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Obviously, these conversations mean everything to us. Please give us 5-star rating. If you're watching, if you're listening, podcasts, iTunes, however you're interacting with us. Please give it the thumbs up. Let us know you're out there and that you loving what you're hearing because we're giving you our best. Thank you. Thank you.
Speaking about giving them our best, Kitty, one thing that you do best is read things and you speak very eloquently.
Thank you.
Our next topic Our next topic is called the ventriloquist dummy. And not that I don't know, but in case any fans don't know what a ventriloquist is or ventriloquism, could you let us know?
Ventriloquism is the act of a ventriloquist who is the art or practice of speaking with little or no lip movement in such a manner that the voice does not appear to come from the speaker, but from another source, as from a wooden dummy.
Right, so the people who have the wooden dummies are like, hey, what's going on? You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So during the show, this was a segment that they named the ventriloquist dummy, which they were in New Orleans at this point. Mm-hmm. They're in the radio station. Naughty by Nature is there. It's a lot going on. Zuri, what did you think about this whole scene, how everything kind of played out? Because they were only in New Orleans for a little bit, but what did you think about this whole overall
scene? I really wanted Bobby to just flip out. I would have preferred that he was just like, I'm going to just take pictures or something because I don't want a signed sticker. I could take a signed album, and even though I came for like a shirt. But I wanted Bobby to really flip out because this is like the second time that they've done this. Right. And the guy is just like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
He's a horrible manager.
Yeah, he was a horrible manager. And I feel like that's kind of what we've seen. Now we've watched the Jackson 5s and all of this stuff. So we know how this goes. But I really wanted Bobby to lose his cool. And I really want somebody to get mad. But I feel like when people are trying to run you over, you have to let them know who you are. And I was ready for Bobby to really like set him straight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it's long overdue too. I do like the fact, as I stated earlier, that he is the calm. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of goes to him and acts a fool around him, but he always seems to be, you know, the calm in the middle of the storm. But you're right. Enough is enough. Like, how much am I supposed to take? How about when the auntie came in though?
Oh yeah. When, in North Carolina, when it was in Greensboro. Why
they don't like her so much?
What happened? She beat him, remember?
Oh, yeah. So with all the flashbacks, we saw that Bobby was back there.
Divine.
Yeah, yes. Divine getting beat.
Because Divine came and took over for him, like beat little boys to take care of, you know, to protect his little brother. Mm, yeah, and I love how she just showed up talking about Bobby. Oh, I'm sorry, Prince Rocking. If you don't sit your arms
that's what
down
I'm,
somewhere.
That's what I wanted to talk about. How many times have we seen that in movie shows? Yes. Those family members who pop up out of nowhere, who didn't believe in you at the beginning. They thought you were crazy. Oh, well, who this person think they is? Mm-hmm. Then when they see you reaping the benefits of your gift and your purpose, is kind of like, oh, that's my favorite nephew.
Exactly.
Look at my favorite son.
She was so whack. Even the white boy came behind and was just like,
he was already behind the records. Like,
yeah, he was like, I'm not coming over here. I
didn't remember your cousins? He was like,
Right. He kind of did give that, like, I'm not. Oh, you know them. No, actually, I don't. And I don't want to know you. But he agreed to give her tickets anyway. Like, he's a really good guy, in spite of the fact that everybody around him always seems like they're scheming and trying to get to the next step or utilizing him to take the next step.
Right.
Even when he was out there putting in work.
Right.
They was all surrounding him, you know what I mean? Trying to make sure that he somehow navigated them through the chaos, because he's always the level head. He's always the guy that's
he's
like,
he's really good at focusing on his goals.
He
like,
is.
He, this is, it's the goal and everything else is noise.
No, absolutely. And what I really liked about when they were in North Carolina, they walked up, they saw the people outside. Mm-hmm. This was the first time he's ever experienced that. Like, these people are outside waiting for me. Like, I'm at peace with my heart. I'm mm-hmm. doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. Then his manager tells him, we can't put this record out because the song wasn't cleared or sample wasn't cleared. And you could tell, little by little, he's being, like, crushed on the inside. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing everything that y'all are telling me to do. Like, I'm doing my part. Why aren't y'all doing your part? And y'all still got these shirts messed up for the second time.
Yeah, he did lose it a little bit on that
one. You can start to see he started to crack a little
bit.
Poke his head into this new industry, which he thought he knew about. Mm-hmm. He thought he had a strong hand on, but clearly he didn't. And that happens with a lot of artists from the different interviews and things that I see on TV, because it's equivalent to me personally, like the hoop dreams. Like, okay, I'm going to be in the NBA one day.
Right.
I'm going to be in the NFL. So when you plan on being an artist and you plan on joining this industry, you don't know how savage and malicious it can be once you get an inside. Like, you're
not
literally
in the beginning.
Object.
You have no idea. Like, you're just so excited that they decided you were the next face of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to be brought onto that platform for a lot of artists is just so exciting. I mean, I remember back in the day when videos was all the rage. Like, all the girls in my neighborhood was like, that's going to be me. I'm being the... Like, that's what they aspire to be a video vixen was, like, the thing. And I just kept thinking, like, it really...
It's still.
I mean, yeah, it was good money, but at the same time, it was... I don't know, the exposure wasn't... You know what I mean? No judgment.
It wasn't long-lasting.
It wasn't long-lasting at all. We'll say that, because I was going somewhere else with it. But I think that's a very good point. And really quickly, Levi Ben Yuda, I hope I'm saying
that
right.
Yeah, we were talking about in the chat.
There was a glimpse of Bobby standing on a square with the engineer in the studio session. Very good point. At the very end, he was like, no, I want it all the way up. I know how to do this. This is what I'm asking you to do. That was decent. But he still said it in a very diplomatic way. He's just a cool dude. And then Cortez Parker said, if he lost, it's cool. You don't get woo. He brought all, well, he said brung. Not a word, brother. But that's cool. All attitudes together. He seen the bigger picture. And he did.
No,
he,
absolutely.
Yeah, just as you say, he stays on his square. He stays focused. He allows everything else to be noise. And he doesn't allow these things to infiltrate. How about the fight though on the set? Was that
with
the
Dennis?
Corniest? Yes,
oh,
with Dennis.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I know you loved that scene.
No.
I thought of you when I was like, oh, Katie's gonna be
He's
mad.
He's so mad all the damn time. Like, where is Sheree?
He pulled out the gun. And the guy said, props.
Right?
No. And I thought that was mad funny because, you know, we're out here. We're on different sets. We know how props and everything, like,
yes.
go. So that was just very funny.
That was hilarious. He literally just walked up and tried to swipe that joint. They was like, ah, nigga, what is you doing?
Right, right. So let's transition into that, like, the last topic, which is if the hat fits.
Mm.
And now they go from Houston to New Orleans to North Carolina. Now they're back in New York. And being in New York, we know this is the hometown. So now Rod gets to pull up. Devine hops out the limo. Oh, I see you, brother. Like, now he's starting to see his brother's vision.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything I liked about the episode was Devine kind of checking out his brother like, yo, bro, you doing what you're saying you're going to do. You're doing what you said
exactly.
you were going to do. So I really like that. But a whole lot of things happened in this last scene, which I feel like was very eye-opening to Bobby. So let's go. Let's get into it. Kitty, what did you think about this whole New York situation, if the hat fits, in this new arena where he's about to shoot this video that he was basically bribed to mitigate how he was feeling before? Oh yeah, well, you know, a video is coming. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty sad. You know what I mean? It speaks volumes to artists out here trying to create their craft. And it just goes to stand, I mean, it stands to reason that this is happening over and over and over again. And you know, in 2020 is so dope. Social media, you know, can be a blessing and a curse. And the blessing part of it is that you can promote yourself the way you want to be seen. Nobody else has a hand in it. And if the public loves you, you can kill it and take it somewhere else.
Right.
What's sad about that, in the other flip, is oftentimes once you sign on the dotted line or you agree to be a part of this, all of a sudden this big monster of a conglomerate company decides how you're supposed to be packaged.
Right.
Like, I could have sworn I got 20 million views or 20 million followers or whatever because of what I created to begin with. So it saddened me. I thought it was horrible that they dragged this man and put him in a clown. So he looked like a clown, yo. Yeah. Excuse me. I didn't get that at all. It was just ridiculous.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yes. WB and he just Frog. Up there in the lights like, I mean, can you, who... Like, the rap itself, I wanted to see him perform in that little get-up, though. Because I was like, it wouldn't even translate. Like, it would just look so juxtaposition. Like, what do you... What? Top? You know what I mean? What was he about to do? That would have been crazy.
If he started this like the WB Frog, I would have started dying.
But you rhyming at the same time? Like, who would think this is dope? And then the white girl, what do I know about it? I'm a white girl. I had an integral part... Please, somebody sit Becky down.
Right.
I just can't take it. They're always injecting themselves in places that they feel like they somehow belong. Homeboy Tom is obviously the CEO. He created this business. Tommy Boy is a big deal, and he focuses on hip hop. I'm not mad at that. Like, I'm not mad at the Rick Rubens of the world. I'm just saying, know your stuff. If you're going to do the damn thing, be a Rick Rubin. You know what I mean? Really know music and know hip hop from the jump to be able to get in there and say this, that, and the third. Not, yeah, I somehow had a hand in the... You didn't spearhead nothing. Right. You know what I mean? You didn't make anybody a bigger star. Let's be clear.
Right.
So I didn't like the fact that everybody was grabbing that man's arm just basically saying, now I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to agree with it. Don't object. It'll be fine. Go. And then only to come back and be like, check this out. Everything we said to do... We're going to put that on you, and it didn't work out. But it was cute. Bye.
Right.
Like, who does that?
Nah, it was definitely very sad. Zuri, I have a question for you, though. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about Bobby's interaction with Ra and Bobby's interaction with Dennis? Let's start with, like, Ra, when Ra pulled up surprisingly, unexpectedly.
I really like that because we've been hoping that he would come around. Right. I wish that we would have had, like, a glimpse of him, like, laying in his bed, calling Bobby, Bobby not answering, or him, like, seeing somebody on the street and be like, oh, I seen Bobby leaving on a plane or something. Like, I would have liked to see, like, the back thought of him wanting to be a part of Wu-Tang, because we see him later in the studio. I'm like, well, when did you decide to be a rapper?
Right. When did your heart just flip upside down? Right.
But that's the producers and the writers' fault. You know what I mean? There probably was some type of, but just like you said, you wanted to see it. How did that come together? What was the segue that made that happen?
Right.
That's all I kept asking the whole show. It was like, where's Meth? When is this actually going to be a group? How does this come? I'm ready. I'm ready for them to actually embark on their next journey.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think the interaction with Dennis was an angry interaction per usual.
Yeah.
And I'm not even really sure what it was rooted in. Like, would he have had that reaction if Ra wasn't there? And if not, what would he have said? Like, he would have just been a part of the video. Would you have added something to this argument of, you look like a clown, what are you doing, this is not the Bobby I know?
Right.
So that was a little bit, like, confusing for me. Well, it wasn't confusing, it was very clear. I wish I would have been gone differently, though, because I feel like he had more to offer in that moment to move the storyline forward, or even to draw the point more home that this is not who you are, and you're being a sellout right now, and they're making a puppet out of you.
Right, because they kind of made it seem like he became combative because he saw Ra. And it's like, if it wasn't for Ra, like you said, would you have still gave your boy that advice? Like, yo, bro, you selling out X, Y, and Z. Yeah. But we just seen the same angry Dennis. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Look, I got a gun.
I'm out here in these streets, bro. I got to put food on the... If you'd follow behind me like I asked you to, like I told you, you're worth it. You can do this. And believed a little bit in yourself and stop falling back on only what you know and stop letting fear stop you from getting onto bigger and better things. I'm clearly feeding my family. So if you would have jumped on this ticket, that could have been very well been both of our realities.
Yeah. I would have even liked him to be like, hey bro, how's Cherie? Like, I would have at least liked that. But even to draw back to, like, what was that, like the first
episode, honestly in this moment he was too extra for me.
Yeah,
way too extra. Like, really, like, you just gonna pull out your gun? Like, what? Like,
even for the writers to have pulled from what was that, episode one of them shooting at each other?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is a really far stretch for us to be on episode 8. Like, come on, guys. Yeah. We have moved.
Now, that was episode. So. Yeah, that was episode one. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, yeah. So I'm like, he could have pulled from so many other places. Even if the point was to make Dennis be an angry person, he could have been angry about anything else. But he's angry right now over episode one on episode 8.
Cause he's been around. I feel like he's been around Ra, like at the funeral at Homeboy's. Like, they like Ra. You've seen Ra in between here. Yeah, Josh's son's funeral. So it's kind of like, So you're this angry. Like, seeing
he stay mad, though. He don't close. Really need anything. He's just a lit firecracker ready to blow at any time.
You got
time.
This pork hill. I'm like, yo, dog.
Let me just, I'm sorry. I got to say this because Homer Wright III makes a very good point. It's a slow burn. I actually like the slow pacing because there's so much history to cover. You make a very good point. I'm very impatient. Please forgive me. I just really want to get to the good stuff. You know what I mean? Not that any of this is bad. I love the pacing in terms of giving the backstories. I like the flashbacks. I think that's an important element, fleshing out the characters. Yeah. But I mean, a lot of them don't get their due. Like ODB was diagnosed later in life, as I shared with you guys when I did a hoodoo-woo, with schizophrenia, with bipolar. Those are really hard mental issues to deal with growing up. So I get it. You know what I mean? But yeah. I would still not like to paint him as the crazy one that just did drugs. That man was very talented. Right, very like, talented. Can we get into that a little bit, please? Yeah.
No. And I see that. I definitely see that happening. Like, they have to get more into ODB because he's one of the pioneers of Wu-Tang.
Exactly.
If we're talking about, like, the
he
main
wasn't
ones.
Even in when they was doing the interview. Why wasn't he involved in that? Because he didn't have a single. Yeah. I answered my question. Never mind. Okay.
So let's transition to the last scene. They're in this state-of-the-art studio. Everyone's in there. Like I said earlier, like the Avengers. Who we have? GZA, RZA, Inspector Deck, and Ra.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in there rapping and stuff. You can see RZA like, nah, turn this all the way up because I need that gritty feel, which I really like that word am I looking for? That line, yeah, does. Very simple. I really like that line because it told you how everything was calculated when it came to Wu-Tang, like the yellow tapes, the static. Like, I want you to feel like you in our neighborhood.
Exactly.
You know? So how did y'all feel about this overall, like, scene?
I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in front. I did enjoy it more so than the other ones just because I always appreciate when they're in their element of creating, right?
Right.
Like, that's when it's the most rickety, rickety raw because they know their craft so well that they just kind of fall into it. And they've been friends for so long. They know each other. They can kind of, you know, pick and choose when to interject and when to, you know, fall back and write rhymes or whatever, or go up to the engineer and be like, I know exactly what I want. You listen to me. I'm the artist. I'm the one rapping. So yeah, I really enjoy that.
Because
more so
Bobby
than
has been producing for a long time. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's
exactly.
talking about.
Exactly.
But we can see what he signed up for isn't what he really thought he was signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Zuri, about this last episode?
I liked it. That part, I've talked about how I would have liked more on Raekwon, but it's fine. I think this is where we finally hear them call themselves Wu-Tang, and it's sword style. So those of you 94 and below, if you were ever confused, that's why. And yeah, I feel like that's when we first, it's one of our first real times see them all come together outside of Method Man. We saw a glimpse of it with Method Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Bobby taking control. Like, I've clearly been wanting him to since, like, the first leg of the tour.
Yeah.
Right. And you can see everyone's getting excited in there, too. So I really enjoy it how they all were looking at each other like, yo, we really about to do this. Then the manager comes in and...
And cuts the cord.
He cuts the cord, but a necessary cord, because this was already an arena where Bobby wasn't feeling.
He did himself a favor.
Exactly. Yeah. He really did him a favor. Exactly. He's like, listen, we see your talent. We know you got it, but you're not going to make it with us. And he should, I mean, obviously it's going to take a minute for him to come to that realization as well, but it'll be a good look in moving forward.
Because of y'all. Y'all the reason why I'm not. Like, y'all the one who switched
exactly.
everything that I, my ideas.
What about Tretch, though? That was cute, how they had Naughty come in for a hot second. Well, it wasn't even all of Naughty. They just highlighted Tretch, which
right.
I thought was interesting. The other two members are still important.
You know, Jersey, you feel me?
Right, Jersey had to show Brick City. They had to show up and do their thing. That was nice. I like that.
Because I did hear that he used to walk around with a machete as well, so I thought like that was very calculated how they had everything.
Tretch,
you know?
Really is a nut job.
What's the group chat saying before we close it out?
So Homer says... ODB or Ahsan Unique, thank you for that. His name was full of meaning, just like Rakim. He was just as deep as genius, but sort of held it back. Exactly, that we completely concur. And I just feel like I'm looking forward to seeing them flesh him out a little bit more,
yeah.
Give him his due. You know what I mean? Because he just comes, every time he shows up, he's just like a little laughing, goofy clown. It's like, okay, he brought so much to the group. And as you said, was one of the founding members. Like, don't do him dirty like that.
Right, don't make it seem like he's like this airhead, this, oh, what's going on, y'all?
Yeah, he's the punchline.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I mean, he's definitely a talented man. And yes, he did get very high, obviously. And yes, he has some mental illnesses. But none of that is relevant to his talent and his skills. There's no way he would have been able to make that kind of name for himself had he not brought the ruckus. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they do that.
Yeah, and you know what I'm looking forward to seeing? And listening to some news and gossip from Zuri. Zuri, take it away.
Yes, news and gossip. Hey, guys. So, as you know, Ashton Sanders plays Bobby, and his price just went up. He is in talks with Warner Brothers and Ryan Coogler to play in a new film called Jesus Was My Homeboy. So, that is actually a Black Panther biopic, and it will talk about the rise and the demise of Black Panther from the Fran Hampton. Well, from the FBI's informant on Fred Hampton. Ooh. So their eyes from the snitch. And Bobby
that's gonna be crazy.
Right. And so Bobby is looking to play Larry Robertson. So he's a good person for Bobby to play. So it's going to be Daniel Kaluuya, Lakeith Stanfield, which are two big names. So for Ashton to join this cast, it's obviously going to be a great show, or a great movie rather. And it's backed by Warner Brothers and Ryan Coogler. I had the opportunity to learn about Black Panther and to like read a book by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's like the number one bestseller right now
with his, what is it called? Water? No.
Water Dancer. The Water Dancer.
Yes, the Water Dancer. Right, so I gotta get
I'm about
book.
To read that tomorrow.
I read Ta-Nehisi Coates' Beautiful Struggle, and his dad is actually a part of the Black Panther. So I got to see a little bit about that, and I learned about COINTELPRO from school.
Okay.
So, right. And so now to see this brought to life by a big studio and a big director with a big cast is amazing, and I think it's going to be a great movie.
No, absolutely. Netflix actually had a Black Panther documentary that I watched a couple years ago where it introduced me to Fred Hampton, COINTELPRO, and everything that was going on back then with the demise and how they dismantled the Black Panther. So I'm very excited to see that
as
movie. Like, I'm like, wow, like this is really coming to the forefront as far as how a lot of these Black empowerment movements were taken out by the government. You know what I mean?
And I think even right now is a good time. Like, we have so many Black organizations that want to help in the community with the many issues that we have in the world. But hopefully that'll give them some foresight of what stopped one of the biggest organizations from really, truly, like, living out their goal all the way. Like, what was it? So hopefully you guys are taking out.
Real simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure it's more complicated
than
that.
There's, like, some drug use sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
They were living in tight quarters, so I think sometimes it's only a matter of time before you put 20 people in a 4x4 that it gets crazy.
Yeah,
right.
And Fred Hampton, unfortunately, was, you know, beating women. And well, that was the accusation, allegedly. There was some impropriety on his part, too. So that doesn't help with the organization because you can't be out there in the front lines talking about, I love my Black women, my queens, and then behind closed doors, you whipping asses. That ain't cute.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, thank you for that, Zuri.
Yeah.
And now it's a different segment. Not who is who. Who is Woo? Kitty?
Word up. So this week on Who is Woo, I'm talking about Raekwon, baby. I was not made aware of this. This happened a while ago, y'all. Back in 2017, to be exact, in April, what happened was Raekwon had a new album. He had just put out his eighth studio album. It's called The Wild, and he created a track called Marvin, which was an ode to Marvin Gaye. I don't know if you know, Marvin Gaye was an amazing icon in the R&B world, and he passed away very untimely death. His father actually killed him a day before his birthday. Yeah, pretty crazy. But the point is that they made this great song together, and CeeLo, of all people, sang the song, and then Raekwon got on there and killed it, you already know, and put mad bars. So I just wanted to celebrate that. I think it's really dope. I was not familiar with the single, but I mean, I listened to it. It's killer. Of course, it's on Spotify. Once I heard the beat, his name kept coming to me, Raekwon says in a press statement, explaining the inspiration behind the song produced by Frank G. The beat reminded me of him, and it transported me back to that time. It was his life. Flashed before me, and the words just kept spilling out organically. So that's pretty cool that they were able to come together like that. They definitely are different genres. I love that kind of mashup.
Yeah.
That whole like Lil Nas, you know what I mean, with Billy Ray Cyrus. That kind of, well, he's country too, but y'all know what I mean. I appreciate it when artists are able to see music for what it is,
right,
and not, you know, make it about only their particular slice of it. And so, yeah, it's a pretty dope song. Y'all should check it out.
I'm definitely going to check it out. I like how they put the video at the end of the credits with GZA and what is it? We love you, Rakim.
Yeah, we love you, Rakim.
I like how they posted the actual video because that showed the fans and all the other watchers. Like, no, this was a real thing. You can go on YouTube and check it out right now.
That's right.
And it was just very like nostalgic. Did y'all pay attention to that? Did y'all see that?
Yeah, no, I love that part.
I watched it. I liked it. It turned out a lot better than I thought it would, based off what we were seeing and right. how things went on set. I would like to know if the interaction between Dennis and Raekwon really happened. Now that we know the video actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, what really happened on set?
Or even if the whole shooting and everything, if all of that really happened too. Do y'all think all that really happened?
I do. I think it probably, that wasn't like 100% actual or factual. I think, you know, for TV, they probably had to embellish a little bit. But I think the actual incident happened.
Yeah, I totally believe he was expecting to wear like a camo jacket and they put him in a 3-piece suit or 2-piece suit. So, yeah, but I like the video. I think it ended up well. I can't tell that he hated it.
Right.
I got a question for you guys. So, Solar Heat 24 has given us a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Do we share it?
Let's do it.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler alert.
Let's vote.
I mean, unless he's a writer, is it?
No, he's not a writer. He just knows what happens in the Woo. But at the end of the day, that's Googleable.
Right.
Like, anybody could find it, right?
Yeah.
So.
Chef Beans is like, no, thank you.
I say no. That's my vote.
I do. Just because. It's not news.
Okay, that's one. That's what, two
and
to
our
one.
Producer.
2-1.
3-1.
3-1.
All right, so Solar. Sorry, y'all. If you don't want to see us, put it off. So, I would never say that. Solar Heat 24 says they might dig deeper into the other members in season 2. Also, Bobby went to Ohio with his family, got arrested for drugs, and had to go to trial. He beat the case, went back to New York, and formed Woo.
Oh, no. I
have no idea.
No, I saw that in a documentary, Men's of Michael or whatever, that was
right.
on Showtime. I know that information as well. So I do see how the writers are switching some things around. Mm-hmm. But that could have just been a longer storyline that they didn't want to, you know, actually put in.
Or it's probably going to come to pass. Yeah, you know what I mean? We got so much stuff that they left out.
Right.
I was asking so many questions at the end of this. Like, are y'all going to wrap this up at any... I just want to know, like, when did he change his name from Rakim to RZA? I know. I have no patience. It's all good. It's coming.
Yeah, I know a lot of that is coming because I'm curious to see how they're going to transition from this last episode into these last other episodes from ending the season.
Because
there's only 2 more episodes left. With
I don't
season
see
one.
Them tying up all the loose strings in 2 episodes. Do you?
Are they approved for, like, to do
another season? That's what I'm like.
Did
they
too.
Get picked up for a second season?
Jono say? Jono say?
I literally was just talking to my mother, of all people, about it. And she's like, well, she gave me, like, this opinion. I'm like, okay, Mom. She don't know what a season, what a Wu-Tang. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy. But we want to say thank you. Thank you, y'all, for coming out today and just seeing us and listening to
yes.
us talk about An American Saga, Wu-Tang. Where can they find you, Miss Boom?
Kitty? Kaboom.
Okay.
My name is Kitty Kaboom. You can find me on IG at that, KITTIEKABOOM. On Instagram, I am Kitty, I said that, Kaboom. Sorry, Facebook, Kitty Kali, and on the other one, Twitter, Kitty Meow.
You can find me at Zuri Shalice, ZuriChelellece, on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
And you can find me at Chef_Beans with a Z on all social media platforms. Thanks for coming out, y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Woo! Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.